Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love that line. I've tried him. Woo! I've tried him and I found his promises are true. Thank God. Thank God for God, really. Amen. My goodness. Well, we're in Luke chapter 2 and I'm going to do my best. I can see the clock from here to be done. And if for some reason it's earlier than normal, and I'm not saying it's going to be, could someone make sure the junior church and the kids' classes know, because I don't want them to be all discombobulated. But I'll tell you one thing, folks. I love Christmas. How many of you love Christmas? Raise your hand up. How many say, no, this is my favorite time of the year? Raise your hand up. Me too. It's my, even more than my birthday. I love Christmas. Christmas is the most wonderful time. We sing it. You know, it's the most wonderful time. It's not in our hymn book, but of the year. And I was singing this morning, you know, it's beginning to look a lot like summer, spring, something like that in between. But I tell you, I love Christmas, folks. I'm only 26, and I wasn't a child that long ago, but, you know, the traditions that my family did, I loved them. There's something I'll never, ever forget. How many had some unique traditions? I wish I'd go around the room, and we don't have time for that. But I know one thing that my parents did. Some people do it. They, throughout December, they put gifts under the tree even before Christmas. How many don't believe that? You say, I don't do that. Wow. How many say, I put them on, there's presents under the tree right now. Yeah. Wow. See, I thought it was like normal that there was never any gifts under the tree until Christmas morning, and they magically appeared. And my parents, we didn't do Santa Claus. Not that my parents were, you know, against it or didn't, but we just never did it. They just, you know, we knew that they got them. We'd give them a list and we'd get them stuff. So we always do it with my parents. And for those who still believe in Santa Claus, I'm not saying he's not real, so I don't want to offend anybody here tonight. No, but my parents, every year, we lived in a small ranch-style house, and we were at the end of the hallway, and when you came out of our bedroom door, right down the hallway, a skinny hallway, a little bookshelf in our front door, but then you could see the living room, and that's where we put our tree, right in front of our window. And we'd go to bed Christmas Eve. Obviously, you know, usually there'd be a fire in the fireplace Christmas Eve. Not this year, probably, maybe. But the tree would be right there, and we'd always wake up, you know, sometime around 4 or 5 a.m., go see my parents, and they'd say, get back to bed till 7 at least. So we'd go back, and I'd sit there, you know, like this till 7 a.m. I remember one year I got up at 4, and I literally didn't sleep till I sat there with my eyes open watching the clock. Every 10 minutes, waiting for it to... How many say, that was me too? Come on, don't be liars today. Amen, amen. And not because you wanted to give something, because you wanted to get something. All right? Let's be honest today. But I remember, I'd get up, my dad would finally, you know, give us the okay. He was a scary guy, so we didn't mess with him. You know, how many... Here's another question. How many you were allowed, maybe as kid, maybe you let your kid, and that's fine, to just get up and open gifts without you? Anybody? How many have seen that, like, on commercials? Like, I'd beat my kid, man. I can see Sethy doing that this year. I have a feeling he's going to sneak out, and I'm going to come out Christmas morning, and all the gifts are going to be opened and being chewed on by Sethy. We didn't even ask. We knew it was a dumb question. We didn't even ask if we could do that. So we'd finally get the okay, but this is the thing. Christmas morning would come, okay? Waited all year for it. Christmas Eve was always really special. We did have a Christmas Eve service at the church, but Christmas Eve, we'd always open one gift from Mom. They'd pick one out, and we'd open one gift. You know, we'd usually have cocoa. We'd watch White Christmas or Holiday or something like that, whatever, you know, and go to bed, try to go to bed, sleep. I used to pray, Lord, help me to fall asleep quickly. I'd drink warm milk because I thought that would help, you know, and nasty stuff. And I finally fall asleep, wake up, you know, Dad would finally give us the okay, you know, tell us, knock on the door, hey, you guys, come out now. And I'd walk out, and it's usually still dark out, you know. It was 7, but it was still kind of dark out. And I'd look down the hallway, and I'd see our tree, always a real tree, beautiful. Decorated, obviously, for the whole season, but, you know, it was dark, so there was no other, any other lights on. It was just the fireplace, light, and the tree. And there'd be gifts stacked around it. Now, that's like a big deal. I'm like, whoa, man. And I had a brother and sister, but I always knew that I had the most because I was the favorite. It was just simple, you know. Middle child, it just worked out that way. So we'd walk down and we'd sit down, and every year, the same thing, we'd get there, we'd bring our Bibles with us, you know, down to the living room, we'd all sit around, and my dad was big on never traveling on Christmas. I mean, most of our family was in town anyway, but we never went over anyone else's house, even in town. We always had Christmas morning in our house with just our family. I think once we had my mom's brother came, but it was always, man, a special time. So we get our Bibles, we go down, we sit on the couches, we sit around the tree, and we did not touch the gifts. We wanted to touch the gifts, but we were not allowed to. And we would read Luke chapter 2, all 52 verses of it. And I hated it as a kid. I love it now, but I hated it, okay? And don't sit there like it's a... Listen, if you were a 9-year-old kid and you had a big stack of gifts with your name on it and you had to read 52 verses, you would probably be upset too. And we read all 52 verses of Luke 2. But listen, it was a special time. Man, it was great. And my dad would always pray. At the end of Luke 2, we'd read it, the fire would be going, and he'd pray. And then before breakfast, we would open gifts. And it wasn't just a free-for-all. It was one at a time. He'd pass them out, you know, to my sister, my brother. We'd all open one. And then it always seemed, this is just my dad, every year. I know I'm going to miss him this Christmas. I'm sorry about this. Every year, at the end of all the gifts being opened around the tree, we'd be like, man, what a great Christmas. We got to give some gifts out to my parents and brothers and sisters. And, what an awesome Christmas. Man, what a great day. So much fun. And my dad would always kind of play a trick on us. He'd be like, hey, there's one more gift over here. I wonder where this came from. And we'd be like, oh. And it would be like a small gift. Well, one year, it was the same year, and some of you may not know what this is, but the Xbox 360 came out. Bryce knows what I'm talking about. And it was, I remember opening it, we got the little box, and I opened it up thinking it was like a pair of socks or something, and it was just the controller. And me, like a dummy, was like, Dad, we need the game system too, you know? Because, well, he had the game, and then he went out and he brought this, and every year he had some big surprise like that. One year I remember it was a race car track pinned under the couch. One year it was a foosball table out in the garage hiding, and we always had to look for him. And you know, I can go back in my mind and think about all the great traditions that I had, all the great times I had. And you know, if we took the next 7 hours, we couldn't cover all the memories that some of you have. Some of you, that have had a lot of Christmases, and you've got amazing traditions that you had as a child and then that you gave to your children. And, I love Christmas. I love Christmas. We had Donald's first Christmas play this past Monday. Some of you saw on Facebook, he's up on stage all by himself. He snuck into the stage all by himself. But man, I love Christmas. I love the music of Christmas, the carols that we sing in church. I love our Christmas program. I love snow to a point, you know, on Christmas Day. I love this time of year. But truth be told, folks, a lot of times, in the world's eyes, Christmas is different than how we view it. Not that we're better than anybody. I'm not saying that. But Christmas seems to lose a little bit more God every year, doesn't it? It does. Christmas is about Christ. Amen? Christmas is about Christ. I love the presents, and I love the tree, and I love the decorations, and the snowman, and even sometimes the Santa Claus. Listen, I love all that stuff. It's great. But Christmas is about Christ. And the message today is keeping Christ in Christmas. And you see in the bulletin, I have the first part of Christmas capitalized because the first part of the word Christmas is Christ. And people forget that. But keeping Christ in Christmas is not about, in the message today, it's not about, you know, protesting the red cups at Starbucks. It's not about, you know, slapping everybody that says Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. That's not what I'm talking about today. And listen, there's a lot of that going on that frustrates me too as a young man. People don't want to say Merry Christmas or put Merry Xmas or whatever it may be. But that's not what the message is about today. I want to give us three practical ways that us as a church, as Christians, can keep Christ in Christmas. And these can last the whole year round. But I want to show us three ways how we can keep Christ in Christmas. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll go right through this, and I'll do my best to be quick. 1 Peter chapter 1. How can we, Loomis Park Baptist Church, how can we keep Christ in Christmas? 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll start reading verse 13. 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Number one, how can we keep Christ in Christmas? Number one, simply act like Christ. Act like Christ. Be like Jesus. Be like the Lord. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. The first part of Christmas is Christ, but the first part of Christian is also Christ. You know what's amazing? There's not a lot of times nowadays, not a lot of Christians are acting like Christ, it seems. You go on Facebook for 10 minutes and you'll see that. You go downtown, you go to some churches and you'll see that. Act like Christ. I think all of us would say, most would say, no, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. The Lord saved me. I have a home in heaven. I'm a Christian. 1 John, you don't have to turn there, but 1 John, right a few pages over, chapter 2 and verse 6, says, he that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We need to act like Christ this season. All year long, yes, but this season, we need to act like Christ. You know, Jesus was friendly. Why would so many early in his ministry, so many thousands of people want to be around him? The multitudes were always gathered around Jesus. Listen, he had to get on a ship and take out a little bit off the shore because there were so many people crowding him. Everybody wanted to be around Jesus. Think it's because he was rude? Probably not. Jesus was friendly. Jesus loved people. Jesus was friendly and people wanted to be around him. Here's a question you can ask. It's a rhetorical question. How many people want to be around you? Listen, there's a lot of people I could say, man, I love being around most of you people. All of you. Oh, sorry, that sounded bad, didn't it? Most of you. Some of you, no. But listen. Listen, folks. You know what? It's easy to get grumpy sometimes. It's easy to get frustrated with work, with different things in our lives that come up. But Jesus was friendly, and we're supposed to be like Jesus, right? Right? We are. Jesus was friendly. Not just to his disciples either. To everybody. To the poor, to the lame, to the wicked, to the sinner. He was friendly. Listen, folks, I'm not saying we got to, bend over backwards and not call out sin, that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that, folks, but I'm saying Jesus was friendly and we need to be friendly. Ephesians 4:32 says, Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Jesus was friendly. I have a feeling that on Thanksgiving night at Walmart, 6 o'clock when those doors open, there was not a lot of friendliness going around. Maybe some of you were part of that friendliness. Folks, we're supposed to reflect Christ in our actions. May we act like Christ this season, this Christmas, and keep Christ. Jesus was friendly. Jesus was thankful. Remember when Mary washed Jesus' feet with her hair and with her tears and broke the box and Judas is all being mouthy and being a jerk. And Jesus said, listen, she's done what she could. He was thankful. He even in the story of the 10 lepers, you see how important thankfulness was to Jesus Christ when that leper came back. Jesus was thankful. I think of, teenagers, our teenagers. You know what, guys? If you don't get what you want for Christmas, get over it. Now, I won't get over it because I get to, but you need to get over it. No, listen, folks, man, we need to be thankful. Listen, I told our teens on Friday night, the Progressive Dinner, I said, listen, guys, you don't realize the stress some of your parents are under right now trying to get money and save up an extra hour's worth to get gifts for you. So be thankful. Well, this isn't what I wanted. Well, shut up. Sorry, truth. Be thankful. Jesus was thankful. We need to be thankful for what we have. Thankful for our beautiful church. Hey, thankful for the servants of our church. Thankful for those who decorated in here. This is beautiful. Thankful for our bus drivers and our Sunday school teachers. Thankful for a preacher who wishes he could be here today. He wished he could be there last night. Man, our preacher does so much for us. Jesus was thankful. We need to be thankful this season. Tina, be thankful for all that your parents are doing for you. For all that our pastor does for our church. Be thankful. Jesus was thankful. Even if you get a cheap gift, be thankful. And say thank you. Man, don't, No, be thankful that you got something. Jesus was also happy, wasn't he? I always think the kids always want to be around. I said the multitudes want to be around Jesus, but the kids wanted to be around Jesus. Now, most kids don't like being around grumps and grouchers. They just don't. You know, I don't know why they're around me all the time. Jesus was happy. He was happy. Kids wanted to sit in his lap. They wanted to get around him. I bet, the Bible doesn't say, but I bet Jesus has joked around with them and played with them and had fun with them, and they wanted to be around Jesus. Jesus was happy. How happy are we? How happy do we look? Maybe you say, well, I'm happy inside. How happy do we look? Now listen, I know this, folks. I know sometimes we look happy and we're not happy inside. I know that happens. Happens to me. Happens to our preacher. Happens to all of us. But if you got nothing going on, no problem, and you look like something is wrong, that's not acting like Christ. That's not acting like Christ. Jesus was happy. We need to have joy in our hearts. The joy of the Lord should be our strength. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. Jesus was happy. This season, folks, smile. Smile right now. So everybody smile right now. Okay, we're happy. Yay, we're happy. We're in church. This is great. Man, you know what? Say Merry Christmas. I started saying Merry Christmas in October. I don't care. Man, listen, I get this from my mother. My mother is such, some of you have met her real quick. She's the sweetest lady you'll ever meet, you know, unless you're her child and you do something stupid. Then she's not. But beyond that, listen, my mom's been a nurse for years. She's an RN now. She's been a nurse her entire life. Man, you want to be a good nurse? You got to be happy and friendly to people. How many of you have been a nurse before? You've been a nurse? Listen, you get it. You work with people. You've got to be kind. My mom is the most compassionate nurse that I've ever met in my life. She gets close to people. And I think I get it. I want people to be happy. I do. That's why I'm going to try to finish up real quick. I want people to be happy. If I go to the store, I'm going to say, I'm going to read their name tag. That's why it's there. Okay, I'll say, hey, you know, Jeff or whatever, Linda, whoever it is. Hey, you know, how's it going today? You guys busy today? I'm going to start, and some people shut me off real quick and say, man. But some people, they'll start talking. Maybe they just dealt with a grumpy customer. I don't want to be that guy. Listen, if they mess up my order, I still don't want to be that guy. I almost apologize for the mess up. Say, oh, I'm really sorry if I even do. Sometimes I don't. But listen, folks, let's be happy. Let's smile. Let's say Merry Christmas. Let's have joy. I want to read you a story. This was I mentioned it a few years back, and many of you probably haven't heard it or forgot. But 2012, right before Seth was born, December of 2012, was me and my wife and little Donald, and my wife was very pregnant with Seth just a few weeks before he was born. And we were in Meijer getting some stuff for groceries, and weren't getting Christmas gifts yet. I think it was December 12th. And we're at Meijer, we're walking around getting baby food, getting formula, getting this, that, and the other thing. And Donald had been just being such a brat at the store. I'm sorry. He just was fussing, and he was just being really loud. And we were like, we got to figure out something for him to do. He had grabbed like a bottle of Cascade and started chewing on that. We knew that why it wasn't good. So we found a little bouncy ball that you bounce it and it light up, and we gave that to him just to hold on to. And he started chewing on that too. He chewed the price tag right off. We probably could have walked out with it if we wanted to, but we didn't. And so we're walking around. He's playing with this ball. It's lighting up, and we're just walking around, just whatever. And, you know, we didn't get any Christmas gifts yet because we were, you know, we knew we couldn't do it that week financially. We were going to wait till the next week and just get some of the gifts for it. It was just Donald and us. And this lady walked by us, and she said, that's a really cool ball. Where'd you get that? And we hadn't got it from where it was placed. Someone else had left it somewhere, like in like the dish detergent aisle, and we just had grabbed it off the shelf and given it to him because we were like, we need to quiet him down. And we said, you know, we don't really know, you know, where we got it. But I said, and I wiped it off and cleaned it off. I said, but seriously, if you want, because she said, my grandkid would love that. I said, well, take it. Seriously, we're not going to buy it. She goes, no, I don't want that. I said, no, he'll be fine. Seriously, take it. And we're like arguing back and forth about me trying to give it to her and her trying to make me keep it. And we're like, no, we're not going to get it. And she said, why aren't you? She goes, why aren't you going to get it? And I just kind of was like, well, we just weren't getting any gifts today. So this lady who I had never met in my entire life opens up her wallet, takes a $20 bill out and says, here. She said, get some gifts for him. And get the ball and get some gifts for him. And I said, I was blown away by that. Not that no one's ever, you know, you folks have given us so much, but this was a complete stranger I had met 17 seconds earlier. She pulls the phone and says, here. I said, what? I said, my goodness. And she, I said, ma'am, you don't realize, I'm a youth pastor in a Baptist church. I said, you have no idea how much this means. Thank you so much. And she said, come here. And I gave her a big hug. I didn't know who she was. And I felt like she was family. And you know what? I said, Merry Christmas. And I gave her a track, and then we parted ways. We had just printed our Christmas cards out at Meijer. So actually, we printed them out. I said, you know, I got to find that lady in the store and give her a Christmas card now. So we're like running around the store. We finally find her, give her a Christmas card, thank her again, and we're on our merry way. Didn't hear from her. Obviously, you know, we left. It was really awesome. 4 months later in April, I was on Facebook. And if you know anything about Facebook, you have messages, and then you have messages from people that you don't, that you're not friends with. And you usually don't see those ones. And I had got a message on Facebook from someone I didn't know. And I looked at it, and I started to read it, and I realized it was sent the day that I was at Meijer with that lady. And it was this lady had probably looked at the track, gone on the website, found my name, and found me on Facebook, and sent me a message. And this is what the message said. This is April of 2013, like 5 months later. She said, hi, Donald. I'm the one that met your great family today at Meijer's. Great family. And again, this is 5 months later. I'm reading this and oh my goodness. She said, I kind of wanted to let you know my story because I'm sure it will touch your heart. 29 years ago yesterday, which would have been December 11th because she sent it the same day we met her. She said, 29 years ago yesterday, my little boy would have been 29 years old. He was 3 months old when God took him in a crib death. Her 3-month-old had died 29 years before. She said, hardest day of my life, to say the least. Anyways, every year at Christmas time, I look for someone special to give a little to. But it has to be for a little boy. It's my gift to my son, Jamie. And it helps me more than anything in the world. So I just want to thank you for being at Meijer's today. And when you gave me the card about the church, I was just blown away. I was almost speechless. God made that happen. So again, thank you. You and your family made my Christmas. I hope your little boy enjoys his ball. God bless you and your family. And it was a lady's name. Folks, I had no earthly idea what this lady was going through. None. And listen, I didn't go out of my way. I didn't give her. I gave her a Christmas card. That's all I did. She's the one that gave me $20. But my wife and I, that day, we were trying to be friendly, obviously. And we helped somebody without even knowing it. We made somebody's Christmas. And I thought, obviously, she's the picture of friendliness in this story, not us. But folks, can we just act like Christ this Christmas? And be and help and act like Christ and be happy and be friendly? Oh, that all of us would do a better job with that, including myself. Having a friendly spirit. Not letting little things bug me. But trusting the Lord. Number two, how else can we keep Christ in Christmas? Number two, love like Christ. Number one was act like Christ. Number two, love like Christ. The Bible says in John 3, you know the verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave everything. He gave everything. 1 John 4:7 and 8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Philippians chapter 2 in verse 3, I'll turn there. If you can make it there, great. If not, Philippians 2 and verse 3 says, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. May we as Christians, as Loomis Park Baptist Church, this Christmas and all year round, love like Christ. Love like Christ. Jude 22 says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. That lady at that store made a difference in my life. She did. I read that story and I said, you know what? I have that ball still at the house. I said, I'm going to use this for the rest God willing, the rest of my life. And when Donald gets older, I'm going to tell him that story. And I'm going to teach him, give, love people. Love people. Have compassion. There are people all over this city. There are people all over this room that are hurting. I mentioned yesterday at Soul Winning, the little challenge I gave was from the Bible when it says the angels brought good tidings of great joy. And I said, folks, how about we as Christians bring good tidings of great joy to people around us, the people that are hurting, the people that maybe this Christmas is going to be a little bit harder than last year. And I know that's true. I know that's true. Some of you have lost loved ones this year. This will be the first Christmas without them. And it's going to be tough. And those who maybe haven't lost any loved one, let's encourage those. Let's find someone who needs some encouragement and love them. Let's find someone in our church that you know is going to have a tough Christmas and have them over. Man, just put your arm around and say, you know, I just want to let you know I love you. I love you. But you don't have to say anything else. Love like Christ. People all around us hurting, lonely, less fortunate. We've got those baskets out there, and I wish we could do 500 baskets. Love like Christ. Jesus healed the sick, the lame, the deaf, the beggars. He helped the sinners. He helped everybody. Everybody. He loved everybody. May we be like Christ. And love like Him. Give our love to people. Not hold it all in. But man, let's just help each other out this Christmas. Keeping Christ in Christmas. How else? By loving like Christ. And lastly is this. We said number one was act like Christ. Number two, love like Christ. And number three, how can we keep Christ in Christmas? Give like Christ. Give like Christ. I already quoted John 3:16. That God gave His only begotten Son. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ gave His life for us. May we as Christians this season give like Christ. After all that God's given to us, may we give to other people. It's simple, folks. I said this would be practical. Write a letter. Teenager, I know you don't have a lot of money. Write a letter to someone. Make a phone call. Give up your time. You can give your time. You say, I don't have any money. Well, give up your time. I know there's no snow right now, but when it does snow, why don't you give up your time and go over and shovel someone's walkway and not expect any money for it. Just do it. To give. Because not only are you obeying God by giving to someone, not expecting anything, but you are a great testimony to that person that you're doing it for, or a great encouragement to another Christian. Give. Give. Give like Christ. We're trying to teach our kids now about giving. And they're young. We're trying to teach them. Listen, obviously as a child, you're all excited about Christmas because what you can get. But we want to teach our kids, man, what you can give. What you can give. How you can make someone else's day. That lady at Meyer will never know the impact she made in my life with that simple act of kindness. That simple gift. And even without the whole story behind it, that just made it a whole bunch more wild. Even without that, just that simple act changed my life. Give. When you're at Dunkin' Donuts, tell the cashier, you know what? I'm going to pay for the guy behind me. I say, well, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you? No reason not to. Nothing's stopping you from doing that. Give. You don't know what that person behind you in the car, they may be getting coffee to help with their rotten day or something, and they're going to go up there and get ready to pay and say, oh, you're already covered, the person in front of you paid. Oh my goodness. Wow. Give like Christ. We will never truly be able to give all that God gave. We won't, but we can sure try. Give like Christ. Luke chapter 6. Why don't you go there? Luke chapter, we're about done. Luke chapter 6. Keep Christ in Christmas, folks. Luke chapter 6. And let's look down at verse 38. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Folks, I'm not saying, when I say give, I'm not talking about giving gifts. Now listen, parents, I know I'm giving gifts this year to my kids, to my wife, to my family, and I'm all for that. But how about more than the presents? Pastor Robles, my father-in-law, preached a message once, and he said, it's not about the tinsel, was the thought. Not about the tinsel. And folks, it's not about all the presents under the tree. That's a great time. That's great memories to be made. But let's give beyond that. Why don't you give of your time? Why don't you give of your heart? Why don't you give of your love to people? Why don't you dig deep and say, well, you know what, I got too much going on. No. We can come up with excuse after excuse not to give or not to love or not to whatever. Listen, folks, don't let it happen. You want to keep Christ in Christmas? Could you just imagine if all of us went out into the world and acted like Christ and loved like Christ, and gave like Christ. That is the way to keep Christ at Christmas. That is the way to show this world and this city that Christmas is about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. That's what Linus said. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And that's what it is, folks. It's about Christ. May we stop expecting, and listen, I know as you get older, you don't expect as much for Christmas, but even beyond gifts at Christmas, some of us in our lives, not even about Christmas, are all about this. What can you do for me? What can you give to me? How can you help me? May we stop expecting everyone else to give and give to others. The Bible says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Give like Christ this Christmas. Act like Christ, love like Christ, and give like Christ. Keep Christ in Christmas. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around.